My name is Pearson.
My name is Pearson.
You are listening to our Papaw on Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
This is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber from Compass Retirement Advisors. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Mike Graber provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Retirement Talk. It's always good to have you with us. We appreciate you taking some of your time with us today. You know, last week, we started a discussion that was titled Strategies for Transferring Your Wealth to Kids. And today, we'll finish that discussion. Last week, in part one, we worked through a Kiplinger article with the title, Three Ways Parents Can Transfer Wealth to Help Their Kids. And today, we'll be looking at a second Kiplinger article, Four Tax Smart Ways to Share Wealth for Kids. And we'll be in that article for a short time, and then we're going to go to a third article. But in anticipation of changes that we expect to come in the next couple of years regarding tax rates, possible changes in estate taxes, and other legislation, you know, I felt this was a good topic for us to once again spend a little more time on. And obviously, I don't believe any of us have worked, saved, and sometimes even sacrificed to accumulate some assets only to, you know, leave them to Uncle Sam as one of our primary beneficiaries. But, you know, without some solid planning, that's exactly what could happen. And we want to help you avoid that. So I hope you'll stay with us today. Well, let's welcome in Tony Shore. Tony is always a helpful guide on our discussions. So, Tony, thanks once again for appearing on our show.
Well, it's great to be on the show, Mike. I appreciate you having me on your show. And once again, you've got an important topic for all Americans out there, making wise decisions when we're transferring wealth. I think it's important as we anticipate the changes to the tax rules, which we know are coming. That's important to understand and be prepared for. A lot of great information last week. And listeners, if you missed part one, you can always listen to Mike on your favorite podcast site. Just subscribe to Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. So, Mike, where do we pick up the topic today?
Well, let's start by discussing child IRAs. And according to Kiplinger, another potential way to share your wealth with your kids is via a child IRA. You know, in the eyes of the Internal Revenue Service, a child IRA is no different than my IRA or your IRA, and contributions to the account obviously must be made with earned income. So we can't just gift the money to our kids and say, hey, take this and go open an IRA. You know, if our child is actually earning money that they don't have immediate needs for, a child IRA could provide some substantial long-term benefits. As with IRAs for we adults, a child IRA may be designated as a traditional IRA, or it could be designated as a Roth IRA. A traditional IRA allows immediate deductions, as we all know, from income taxes when the contribution is made. So no principal or income is subject to tax until the child begins to take withdrawals. And ideally, that'll be many, many years down the road when they actually reach retirement age. Now, on the flip side, a Roth IRA doesn't provide an immediate income tax deduction, but the income earned on the Roth asset is going to be tax-free. as long as withdrawals don't begin until the child reaches at least age 59 and a half and the deposit into the Roth has been there, or the Roth has been open for a minimum of 5 years. Now, here is why I think that this is a strong point. We don't know where tax rates are going to be, some 40 to 50 years from now when our kids, reach their retirement age. But I think the perspective to keep here is, having an account with a zero tax rate applied to it, which is what the Roth accounts have, that would certainly be my choice. I don't think there's much, doubt about it. Obviously, that's my opinion. Each situation is different. But I think there's a really strong case to be made for using a Roth IRA for the child IRA.
Well, Mike, as you've talked about in the past, traditional and Roth IRAs have their own unique pluses and minuses, right? So if you aren't sure which one is the right fit for you or a child or a grandchild, make sure you reach out to a financial professional. Our listeners can just give you a call, Mike, to talk about that, because every situation, like you say, is different.
It really is, Tony. And listeners, you can reach me at 812-787-0809, and we'll be happy to walk through how a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA might work for your child. Now, I'd like to reemphasize a couple of points here. While the contribution limits and other requirements that we should consider are important, many consider, as I said, the Roth to be an ideal approach, especially, in light of what we expect to come down the road down the years with changes to the tax code. But, obviously, many kids who currently have earned income have plans to spend those, and that's great and that's fine. But, right now they're in a pretty low tax bracket, and given they're probably working, part-time, maybe at Dairy Queen or Starbucks or someplace like that. And that means, as they age and earn more money, they're going to move into the higher tax brackets. And so it's because of that that, a lot of people would really prefer to use the Roth strategy for their children. If you're setting up any type of retirement designated dollars like the regular IRA or the Roth IRA, the tax advantages, I think, are much stronger on the Roth side of that equation, Tony.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is a good point. Is there anything else people should know about child IRAs?
Well, there is, and that's a really good point here we want to bring up. We talked last week about custodial accounts. And the same types of rules hold true on child IRAs. The assets in a child IRA must be exclusively used for or to the benefit of the child. And, because the beneficiary of this account will eventually have control of those assets, when the child reaches adulthood, those who are helping the children create an IRA on their behalf should be confident the child will not give in, to those temptations to, dip into that account too early. They reach adulthood, they're in early 20s, and there's some cash there that we put into a retirement account or that they've put into an IRA. If they can't avoid the temptation to jump into that, they're going to have to pay, a 10% penalty for early withdrawal prior to age 59 and a half. And plus pay the tax on that. So we have to, again, think about the maturity level of the kids and educate them and really prepare them for the day they become, the adult and have access to the money. But we certainly don't want them to tap into it and pay additional early withdrawal fees on these accounts.
Well, right. And I know that you have special tools and resources that you use to help your clients and the people you meet with make that asset transfer process a bit easier, right?
It is, Tony. And, talking about, these IRAs for kids is all part of this bigger topic of wealth transfer, transferring assets from our generation to our kids' generation. And we do have an excellent program. It's called Enhanced Planning, Preserve Family Harmony, and Protect Your Legacy. And this is packed, I think, with just excellent information and advice about how you may be able to ensure your assets go to the people or to the causes that you care deeply about. And we want to do this, help you do this in a way that honors your wishes and preserves the family unity. You know, don't think that you have to be rich, you know, to benefit from, you know, this enhanced planning services. No matter how valuable or significant your assets are, not clearly and thoroughly spelling out your wishes before you pass could lead to some lasting family turmoil, some hurt feelings after you're gone. And we certainly don't want that to be part of the legacy that we leave behind, you know, for our families. We want to spell things out as clearly and as accurately as possible what our wishes are, and put those plans in place, and let the memories be fond and not full of questions or concerns about, you know, what mom, dad, or what mom did, or what dad did. You know, let's prepare the way for these assets to be transferred and our wishes met.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it makes a lot of sense, but again, you got to work with a financial professional like yourself. What do you have next for us on this topic?
Well, you know, again, we're talking about the great wealth transfer, and you know, that's the topic for last week and today. Let's look a little more closely at this, and I want to direct our attention to a Forbes article, "The Great Wealth Transfer from Baby Boomers to Millennials Will Impact the Job Market and the Economy." So I think this article really details the transformational economic event that's kind of unfurling right now in our country. And as we work through some of these numbers, I think it'll help provide some clarity as to just really why this is such a critical topic for us to talk about here on Retirement Talk. So let's review some statistics. Baby boomers are born between 1946 and 1964, and we are currently the world's wealthiest generation. And our average net worth, I'm a baby boomer, so I'm saying our, presently falls between, on average, $970,000 and $1.2 million. So baby boomers have done extraordinarily well financially. You know, baby boomers and then their parents. The parents are from that silent generation, or the one that Tom Brokaw dubbed the greatest generation. They're going to pass an estimated $84.4 trillion in assets between now and 2045, and $72 trillion of that is going to be going directly to heirs. And that's according to a study by the financial market intelligence firm Cerulean Associates. And that was referenced in the prior Kiplinger articles. So a lot of money on the cusp of transferring, you know, from the silent generation through to the baby boomers. And now those dollars are going to be moving into the hands of the millennials. So never before in history has so much money transferred from one generation to another.
Yeah. Well, and that's a staggering amount of money that we're talking about here. And but what does it mean for those born after the baby boom generation?
Well, you know, millions of baby boomers have already entered, you know, their retirement years, which means, you know, they're working to create ways and adopt plans, you know, to transition these assets to their kids and their grandkids. And when we consider that those baby boomers, or we baby boomers, hold one half of the wealth in our country, you know, it's a monumental task for sure. But specifically, baby boomers, as we've said, are expected to leave about $68 trillion to their kids. And here's the game changer. It will make the millennials the richest generation in America's history. know, this great wealth transfer has the potential to radically transform the lives of the millennials, you know, for their generation. And, you know, they've already faced things like recessions and astronomical college costs. You know, many people believe that housing prices are reaching unattainable levels. We've gone through record high inflation the last few years, and it's not cooling off as quickly as the Fed would like, and interest rates are staying a little higher, a little longer. But all this money in the hands of the younger generation has the potential to really impact America and the economic system for years to come, Tony.
Well, and you know, obviously, this is something that I know that you work hard to help people with, and so, you know, what's the potential cause of the disconnect that happens here?
Well, that's a good question, and I think it all begins, you know, kind of at the beginning when we look at the, you know, the baby boomers. You know, things like concerns that baby boomers have, like the ones that are still working, you know, job security and career advancement for those who, as I said, are still in the workplace. You know, that doesn't mean that trend or those concerns will last forever, but they're there, they exist. And so, you know, the baby boomers may be holding on to their funds or spending more of their funds, you know, depending on how they see their financial futures playing out. And then there's always the possibility of, you know, future market corrections. And I heard a J.P. Morgan executive, Jamie Dimon, this morning talking about, you know, the possibility still exists for a hard landing and a recession is still possible. So, you know, the baby boomers are aware. But this means that there are concerns that remain. And as we have spoken at great length this year about the top concerns for those who are retiring or approaching retiring, here it is again, is that possibility of outliving their wealth. And that may mean that they stay in the workforce a little longer. They hold on to the money a little longer instead of, you know, passing it down. And remember, as I said, for all of us, that possibility of running out of assets, you know, is high on the list for baby boomers in survey after survey after survey. And we have spent a lot of time talking about that and how do you plan and put financial tools and products in place to reduce that possibility. We've talked about that at length in many of our shows this year. And some baby boomers are also going to face, you know, financial roadblocks in their later years because of rising health care expenses and longer life expectancies. And certainly those are two factors that could decrease, you know, how much that they can leave for their kids. And I'll cite one example here. There's a couple I'm working with right now on this type of planning. And I just asked them to, you know, contact some of the facilities that if they required, you know, a long-term care confinement, what those costs would be, and then add a little inflation to it, get them into their, you know, maybe late 70s and take a look at how much per month they might need to be able to cover. And their research showed as much as $10,000 per month per person might be needed for these expenses. And so there goes a lot of what I think possibly the millennials are looking to inherit could wind up, you know, being spent for these long-term healthcare costs. So again, this is an area where we need to do some planning, put some perimeter protections in place to make sure that we're not spending dollar for dollar to cover those potential expenses. And listeners, again, if you have any questions in this area, you can reach me by calling 812-787-0809.
All right. Well, on previous shows, Mike, you've been very thorough and transparent about healthcare and healthcare costs, which seem to be only going up and up and up. And when you also factor that some retirees are going to need long-term care, And that's very expensive. It's understandable that some baby boomers out there are going to choose to work as long as possible. Hopefully the baby boomers listening to the show today are working with somebody like yourself, a trusted financial professional who can help relieve some of that anxiety.
Well, I would agree, Tony. You know, and the reason we do what we do is to try and help people put plans in place that can, you know, touch on many of the bases that people have concerns on, and make sure that we have those covered. You know, and we know that no one can, 100% control how much wealth the millennials are going to eventually inherit in coming years. You know, it's likely that it's still going to be a very sizable number, a large enough amount of money that's going to drive some very real economic change here in our country. And I know this significant transfer of assets, you know, there's thought that it's going to lead, you know, to changes in the job market as some choose to take those assets that they inherit and, you know, take on that dream entrepreneurial role. And some others may choose just to take, you know, some more time off and to travel. You know, this really is going to be a wealth surge for the millennials. And with that, it could cause a spike in demand for, you know, goods and services. And all told, the expectation is that this will lead to millennials holding an estimated 5 times as much wealth whenever 2030 gets here as they currently have. So, you know, increasing the wealth of a generation in just the next 6 years or so. So that's just an incredibly huge change.
So is developing a strategy for this wealth transfer something you help people with?
Yeah, without question, Tony, you know, focusing on wealth transfer is a primary focus for us here at Compass Retirement Advisors. And we feel like we've got considerable experience. We've been at this some 42, 43 years now. And with the addition of the enhanced planning tool, you know, Preserve Family Harmony and Protect Your Legacy tool that I referenced earlier in the show, you know, the goal of the enhanced planning process is to construct a strategy that respects your wishes for your assets and hopefully allay any confusion or family discord and has you then looking forward to retirement with less worry. But you have to go through a process to evaluate things and put the right products and strategies in place. And I hope you'll give us a call here at Compass Retirement Advisors. Again, my number is 812-787-0809. And next week, we've kind of got a show a little different. And the topic that we're going to be talking about, or I've titled the show next week, You Don't Know What You Don't Know. So I hope you'll join us as we look at some of those things that maybe we don't know about, but we really need to get on our I Need to Learn More About It list. So I hope you'll join us again next week. Thank you for your time today.
And that does it for today's episode of Retirement Talk with Mike Kramer.
Thank you for listening to Retirement Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, contact Mike Graber at Compass Retirement Advisors. Call 812-787-0809 or visit them online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com.
Investment advisory services provided by Creative One Wealth LLC, a registered investment advisor. Compass Retirement Advisors LLC, the Insurance Shop Inc., and Creative One Wealth LLC are unaffiliated entities. Mike Graber and Compass Retirement Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any government agency. Provided content is for overview and informational purposes only and is not intended and should not be relied upon as individualized tax, legal, fiduciary, or investment advice. Each individual situation will vary and opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Illustrations given are hypothetical examples and provided of illustrative purposes only. It does not represent real-life scenarios. Long-term care riders are not a replacement for long-term care insurance. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. Insurance product guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing company. Product and features may vary by state. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representation can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. The information contained here and is based on our understanding of current tax law. Tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional legal advice for applicability to your personal information.